Terabytes is for informational and educational purposes only. Nothing on the show is advice. No financial, tax, legal, or any other kind of advice. No Forex advice. No Forex trading advice. Nothing we say is an inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy. Anything you invest in, well, that's at your own risk. So do your own research and consult with professionals. And don't blame me if you lose all your money on a bear market or market with conditions such as today. We're here. We've got a very special guest with us today. Another Anon. Pete just sticks me with all the Anons. He must think I'm like an Anon degenerate here. I've got D. He's a founding team member from Vertex Protocol. I think a lot of people in the space are very excited about this, especially people that are outside the U.S. because Vertex Protocol is aiming to bring Forex markets and some utility to some of the non-UST Terra stablecoins, which, as we all know, if there's demand for any of the Terra stablecoins, well, you have to burn Luna in order to use them. So D, welcome to the show, sir. And can you tell us a little bit, lead us off with a little bit about Vertex Protocol?
Evan, what an intro. Thanks so much for having me, man.
Thank you.
Super pumped to be on the show. So you can probably tell from my accent, I'm not from the sunny United States. And I think you hit the nail right on the nose when you said that for people outside of the USA, there's a whole lot of value for something like Vertex. So as soon as we kind of released the idea, I was amazed actually how quick the community were to pick up on what they could do if they had an FX perpetual protocol. So The things we're mainly focused on is Terra has this amazing stablecoin system, right? So they have this way of generating a decentralized stablecoin, which we all understand the value of. But when you look at the stablecoins outside the US, there's no utility for them, right? And the pickup of JPT, AUT, CHT reflects that, right? And so the idea we came to was, how cool would it be if you could do a multi-currency version of Anchor, right? And to give you a little of my background, I started my career in foreign exchange trading for large bulge bracket banks. And in those markets, a lot of how liquidity is generated in the interbank market for yen, Aussie, Swiss, sterling, whatever it is, mm-hmm. is that FX derivatives will be used to move liquidity from one market to another until at the end of the day, the ultimate place where liquidity goes is the Fed, right? Because it's the biggest bank out there. It's the biggest, baddest balance sheet. Now, in our little ecosystem we have here, the biggest, baddest balance sheet we have is Anchor, right? So you've got AUST, which is this awesome product, but how do we make it so that AUST is powerful and open to everyone without much thinking? Well, you put an FX derivative on top of it, and you basically allow people to deposit their native currency, have a native currency experience. You know, you put JPT in, you get AJPT, you earn yield, but you're delta hedged. And the way you do that is by having a perpetual market. So that's what we're creating. So there's three parts, really. It's a spot market, it's a perpetual market, and then it's this kind of multi-currency tweak on Anchor.
Interesting. So you bring up a couple things there. If we could just back up a little bit, because I think, you know, for me, from my perspective, because this is my show, so I get to ask the questions I want, I'm curious to hear what's the experience like for people. If we're just going to talk utility of non-UST stable coins, what's the experience like for people that are in Europe, in the UK, in Asia, and other countries? What's that experience like to actually have to transact with, in the old days, Tether, and now with UST? Is there a Forex risk there? And what are you losing potentially to have to go from fiat into UST to use the primitives on Terra and then back out through another exchange from UST into local fiat? Can you describe that?
Yeah, it kind of sucks, right?
So, yeah.
whenever you talk to anyone who's based in the States and you say, hey, I've got this idea for this great crypto FX platform, they usually just shrug and they're like, why would you bother?
Right. But
if you look at it from, say, my point of view, I don't think it's any great, I'm not doxing myself to say I'm in the UK, you probably guessed. I got to move from pounds to UST before I can invest. And any on-ramp, off-ramp where it also has a currency exposure element to it, it's not unthinkable that I'll pay 2 or 3% to get in or out. So let's say it's 2% on the, you know, optimistic side. You're 2% in, you're 2% out. The currency movement itself could be 5 to 10% in a low volatile year for FX. So FX isn't crypto, but it can move up and down in a year, 5 to 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're looking at is easy 10 to 20% variance and costs just from the currency component. So whilst we'll not be handling the on-ramp, off-ramp piece, by having it in native stablecoins, we make it a lot more attractive for people to be super competitive on the on-ramp, off-ramp. And we also take away the variance that people get from the exchange rate. So there's kind of two components where we think we help make the space more efficient.
Right. And I know that you mentioned you're from the UK, so I'll let the cat out of the bag that you're from the UK. And a lot of people are interested in like an EUT, and I got like 15 people in my DMs yelled at me because we did an interview a couple weeks ago, and I mentioned that like people from the UK probably can't wait for EUT, but actually you guys don't. You're not in the Eurozone, right? So you're using it.
Very much not in the Eurozone since a couple of years ago. Yeah.
So you're using like, what is it, like pounds or shillings or whatever Harry Potter language you guys use? What
exactly? Pound sterling.
Okay. So since you've come up with the Vertex protocol and like, you know, the concept of it, what have you seen has been like the in most demand aside from UST? And I'm sure personally you'd like to see the pound sterling be included.
So I think interestingly, the demand has come from all sorts of weird places. So Aussie has been very in demand. EUT, I think Euro is a big one, right? It's such a big area, such a large population that, and they really suffer with some of the kind of banking there is a little bit more obstructive than it is maybe in other jurisdictions. But I would say the demand's mostly, you could broadly say it's been aligned and proportional with population and with general kind of crypto user base. I see Danku going crazy for EUT in the comments. So I think the thing is with something like EUT, Euro interest rates are so low,
mm-hmm.
that those are the ones where they really feel it. But you know, you see all sorts of interesting protocols trying to pitch UST yields via apps and such forth, and we think we can just be a facility they use to offer their users yield.
Now, not to go off on a tangent, but somebody in the comments here, Tommy Boy, just said a Sherman tank, not knowing the currency of UK, not surprised, to be honest. Can you tell me what is a Sherman tank?
It's a Cockney rhyming slang for a Yank.
Oh, okay. Yank, there we go. I'll take it. I'll take the Sherman tank insult any day from a fellow lunatic. So let's dive in a little bit more to Vertex protocol. A lot of questions that we actually got from Twitter. People are really curious if this is going to be an approach to, and I'm trying to summarize a couple of different questions we got here, but is this going to be an approach to like try and steal some market share from the people that are trading TradFi Forex, which I saw actually in your white paper you had noticed, or is this more of a play to make to open up more primitives and potentially more tools and more Legos for people that are already in the Terra Luna ecosystem?
It's kind of both. I think the questions are good, and I think people are asking the right questions and thinking about it the right way. So that's great.
Mm-hmm.
I think in truth, the open door for us is in the crypto space to start with, and bringing more people into that space. Ultimately, we're just making things easier for people, right? But if we can do that in a way where we build institutional grade infrastructure, and we build it in a way where we have institutional grade facilities for market making, etc., then there's no reason really that people couldn't start using this from TradFi. And the sort of the people where TradFi has kind of let them down in this space are very active retail traders. So if you're a active retail FX trader, the cost base for trading is really a ripoff. So they charge you a lot for funding, holding positions overnight. They don't pay you any yield on your deposits. You know, we would be changing all that. It's also very useful if you're a small to mid-sized corporate, the sort of people that are kind of not banked by JP Morgan or Citigroup or these large banks, and they end up paying a lot for their export hedging, stuff like that. And then, you know, ultimately, as you kind of move down that rabbit hole, then it starts to look better for funds, trading houses, people of that nature.
Interesting. And I guess I want to expand on this a little bit. I'm going to bring up if my handy intern can bring up our screen share here. This is a good question from Farmer D. Brown. Big shout out to Farmer D. Brown. He's been in the Luna community for quite a while. And this is kind of to play on your response there. He said there's already a 24/7 mature Forex market. So how can a crypto Forex compete? And I think you gave part of the answer there as well. And then he hits it from the other side. He says only the USD has gained any major traction in crypto so far. And I assume he means like as a stable coin. If crypto is a new country called the metaverse, then does this country really need more than one fiat currency?
I mean, I don't know Mr. Brown personally, but he made a couple of assumptions there that I would kind of tussle with. One is that Forex isn't 24/7. Forex is 24/5,
mm-hmm.
or 24/5 and a half, really. And so there is a gap there in terms of the weekend availability of trading. The second thing is that, can you just bring up the comment again? I just want to make sure I address it properly.
Sure. So he had mentioned that only the US...
the metaverse thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
So that really, I would be really interested where he is based and where most of his costs are based. Because my experience with crypto is, in the end, people need to go to the supermarket and buy some hamburgers, or they need to go to a bar and have a drink with their friends, or they need to buy a car so they can drive their kids to school. You can call it the metaverse as much as you want, but in the end, people have real world costs, and those costs are denominated in the currency of the country they live in, and they need to hedge that risk and deal with that the way they're going to deal with it. So yeah, that's how I'd answer that question.
And I don't think Farmer Brown is coming at this from like a negative on. He's not trying to be negative in his question asking, I assume. But
No. I just sorry, I was probably a little bit more dismissive than I should have been. But yeah, I just don't think the metaphors argument holds up, right? People need stable coins for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah, I think. You know, I've thought about it. I've thought about this question for quite a while as well. And, you know, I guess if we're just going to sit here and like jam a little bit, one of the early questions that I had about Terra Luna, and I'm not sure if you felt the same way, but it was like, you know, if we're looking at a time horizon of like 50 years, why do you want to be pegged to US to US dollar. You know, everybody's like seems to play into the meme of Bitcoin being an inflation or a hedge against inflation. And so, you know, is having our main currency pegged to US dollar, is that a good thing on a longer term horizon? And so, you know, I've played around with the thought, and obviously there's been, you know, a lot of speculation about potentially looking at like some sort of Bitcoin reserve or things like that. So I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that and how that kind of plays into like building out more currencies or I guess building out more use cases for Terra stable coins. And then on top of that, you know, if some of these stable coins happen to be in like really high inflationary areas, you know, how do you reconcile that being a good thing for users in the Terra Luna ecosystem?
I feel like it's kind of two separate questions, right? Because a currency really performs a number of purposes. And that argument really only, you know, it's a store of value and it's a medium of exchange chiefly, right? And I think Bitcoin's great as a store of value. You know, that's really the argument kind of hardcore Bitcoin evangelists are making. But, you know, for most people, a currency is a medium of exchange, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, the world's medium of exchange is dollars, sterling, Aussie, as we said, and you need to have fiat denominated risk. I see in the comments, you know, people are talking about Bitcoin as the, Danko again, talking about Bitcoin as the currency for the metaverse. I can sort of see that that makes sense, right? There is an argument to be made in that. But when you're talking about the real world again, I just keep coming back to, I think the tokenomics on Luna are really smart. You know, linking to the growth of stable coins, this thing that people denominate their life in, that they want to interact in and they have utility for, is great. And, you know, everyone wants to be denominated in Bitcoin until it goes down.
Right.
And the fact is, when it goes down, you see stable coins grow. And because people want to stay within crypto, but they also want to protect their profits and mitigate their losses, and they do that by tying it to an asset that is one for the one linked with fiat. That to me tells me that behaviorally stable coins are going to be super important in this space for 5 to 10 years at least.
Yeah, I think that's a great response. And you know, that's basically the conclusion that I came to as well, is that regardless of Bitcoin and the whole narrative that it's, you know, a better store of value than any fiat currency you'll find out there, at the end of the day, you still need to have something that you can exchange with, right? And you know, I'm kind of echoing what you just said, but if I want to go and have a pint down at the pub with my friends, or as we call it in the US, go get a beer at the bar, you know, I wouldn't even want to pay Bitcoin for that, right? Just because of, you know, whether you're if you're bullish on Bitcoin, why would I want to give up Bitcoin for a beer? And if I'm bearish on Bitcoin, like, I mean, I guess at that point you want to sort of short Bitcoin for beer, but it still doesn't make sense to use it for transactions. So I'm right in line with what you're saying there. I wanted to bring up another question here from the community. And I think this is a very important question, an interesting question. This is from Trix. They say, how are they going to determine which stables are added to the protocol? And I think, you know, we've seen that in order for them, in order for the Terra community to add stables, like, you know, just natively, I think we just saw like the Malaysian ringgit get added, or at least it's in motion. It was voted, to pass. You have to go through governance. So for the Forex, for Vertex, are you guys going to just be using whatever is already like built in, or are you going to be creating like new derivatives that are maybe potentially in ecosystems that don't already have a Terra denomination?
Yeah. So it's a really good question. I think initially, obviously, the spot pools, we can kind of generate spot liquidity for any token really as time goes by. But it's a little bit more of a interesting question on the derivative side, because with the derivatives, you need a certain amount of liquidity and trading activity to make it a valuable pair. And ultimately, at the initial outset, we're trying to create an ecosystem whereby spot and perpetuals and deposits are all kind of linked. So I think initially we'll probably stick very closely to a G7 type model. So we'll be looking at sort of Euro, Swiss, Yen, Sterling, Aussie, etc. As the ecosystem grows and governance becomes more robust, we'd envisage to have a kind of system for bringing new currencies on board to the protocol. We don't have that ironed out exactly right now, but I think we'd have to have some threshold around liquidity, because that's going to be the thing that drives whether it's worthwhile having a market open or not. And there are various ways you can do that. We've got a few options fleshed out, which haven't decided the right one yet.
I'm going to keep diving into some of the user questions here. I think this is interesting, and actually this gets back a little bit to me trying to dive under the hood here. Whenever I first asked you about Vertex, you were talking about really the AUST and the utility of Anchor. And this person here, Terriner, asks, how does the proposed earning of Anchor yields work for CHT or EUT or I guess any other Terra stablecoin other than UST? Is it a dollar cost average from UST to target currency on a block basis or on a daily? And maybe if you could just, you know, use that as a starting point to sort of let us look under the hood here and figure out how this works.
Yes. So the way that like the, say, AEUT yields would work generally would be that there would be a couple of transactions obfuscated from the users. So they'd come in, deposit their euros. We'd do a spot transaction that would then convert to dollars, which would deposit with Anchor. That would then be earning the Anchor yield. And then over the top, we'd have a offsetting perp position, which would be then locking the value of their euros versus their dollars. So this would all be going into like a pool of assets, right? So what they'd get is that they're buying a block of EUT at one point, and then it would block by block accrue value. And then as they took it out, that block would be realized. And so they'd have, from one point to another, they would have accrued an amount of value in that AUT, and it would be pegged at all times. So is it dollar cost averaging? Kind of, I guess, but it's dollar cost averaging in as much as you continually hedge to your euro value. So the dollar cost becomes kind of irrelevant. The bit that's kind of averaging is your funding rate plus your yield.
Now, do you see this being something that, like, are you going to build on a whole new front end in Vertex for people to have access to Anchor, or do you see this as something that, you know, maybe you could work with the Anchor team? I know that they've integrated other platforms as well, like Kujira, to help people scoop up liquidations. Do you see it as maybe just eventually being running in the back end? An Anchor in the front end will just allow you to sort of select which stable currency you want to deposit.
It's possible. I can't really speak to that yet, as we haven't had that discussion with the Anchor team. But we're always looking for hookups in the ecosystem. So we're talking to a bunch of other protocols at the moment. I'm sure there will be a conversation with Anchor, and watch this space.
All right, let's dive back into our Twitter questions here. Trusty intern Steph's going to bring it up for us. This is from Mark Downing. So this question's is interesting. He says, how can mainstream finance solutions like insurance leverage Vertex to make insurance better? Now, there's a Twitter personality named CeFi who has become Luna famous. And I was listening to his spaces. He was on the other day, and he had mentioned Forex being sort of an integral part of something like health insurance. And I was trying to connect the dots and listen. And I'm just curious what you think, I guess, as far as like, you know, Mark's question on insurance and other mainstream finance solutions. Do you see this being like an integral building block for things like that?
I've been working in finance for a really long time, on and off. I don't really get the connection. I'm going to plead ignorance and say, much as you are ignorant, Evan, I also am ignorant as someone who's traded FX, you know, for almost 20 years. Not sure exactly the angle there.
Yeah, I guess he was maybe it was like not a very strong connection, but he seemed to be talking about like a completely different concept, and I guess looped back Forex. I mean, the thing is, you know, any solution.
I wish it were the case. I mean, the insurance industry is massive. I want to say, yes, definitely. Let's make loads of money from insurance. But I'm not sure exactly how that would work.
Right. Well, I thought maybe it would be worth bringing it up since I saw two people, Mark, in the comments. And here we go. Slimy Dog. I love terabytes, but this might be a topic that might be a bit over Evan's head. Stronger finance interview needs to. I should have had CeFi on the show to do the interview.
I'm going to stand up for Evan, Slimy Dog. I think CeFi got that one wrong. I'm not sure FX is an insurance issue.
Well, I do think maybe one thing that CeFi was talking about was anything that's built on in the Terra ecosystem, any platform that's built can use at the end of the day if it wants to expand into global reach. And I think it's maybe more of a, I mean, it's a finance question, but it's also like a philosophical question, because if you want to have a global platform, you know, I guess the question is, does it make more sense for people in a country? And there's a gradient, right? I know I'm rambling right now, so I'll get to a coherent thought in a second. But there's a gradient of countries that are like people on one end don't want to use the local currency at all, right? Because of inflation and bad monetary policy. And then you can move over to the other side, which is like the US, and we have the UST, so we're happy with where we're at. But in between that, those two points, there's going to be certain people that they enjoy being able to like trade in their local currency. And then there's going to be people that, you know, they don't want to touch it. They want to be with a stronger reserve currency like UST or US dollar rather. So I think if you want to reach a global scale, though, it does make sense to have, you know, Forex options and to be able to trade into any currency globally. I don't know. I'm kind of rambling here, Dee, but what do you think of that? Like that concept, you're a Forex trader, so you see these things, you see these opportunities in trading foreign currencies, right? Are most of the trades made against opportunities like that, where maybe one in currency is inflating against another and you can make a trade and have an opportunity on that?
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, if we're talking about FX trading per se, you know, before there was crypto, there was very leveraged FX trading. You know, FX traders were kind of the OGs that really moved into crypto first and started doing a lot of the trading activities. And there's a reason for that, because they were used to volatility. The volatility came through the leverage they had rather than anything else. I think looking at the opportunity, I think you kind of identified the sweet spot, though. Like for the people right at one end of the scale where they have a hugely inflationary currency with lots of issues, they usually will try and move their fiat into US dollars or some sort of other hard currency like gold. And US dollar users obviously just use US dollars. The sweet spot, I think, for usage of this thing is really people that are in the G10, where they have a stable currency, but it's not US dollar based, and they actually have some genuine volatility versus the dollar. probably some of the larger emerging markets as well.
Let me bring up some YouTube comments here. Mike VP says, as a retail user, I'll be using Vertex to save in ACHF until I have enough to spend it on a vacation. How might larger TradFi firms and bigger DeFi trading shops use Vertex?
It's an interesting question. Thanks, Mike. I think, as I said, there's sort of a couple of uses. You know, one is these kind of payment apps, you know, things like Cash or Tick or whatever. They might want to offer non-dollar yields on their platforms. I think some of it might just be people that are excluded from conventional banking system. Like most crypto users would have run into problems transferring money around into and off exchanges. If you add FX on there as well, it starts to become really troublesome. Hopefully Vertex can help with that. You know, I see one of the comments that's also come up is someone's asking about the regulatory challenges protocol will face. I think because what we're doing is putting things on chain, putting it in the hands of the community, it's kind of like all crypto things. If you decentralize fast and you put it in the hand of the user base, you kind of home and clear. And our plan with this is to be respectful of regulations as much as possible, but also to empower our user base. So we'll be doing that in the best way possible.
I wanted to comment on another question here from YouTube. Joseph asks, will Terra and Vertex ever support a Chinese stablecoin? China, obviously one of the biggest economies. Are you looking at potentially RMB or what would it be called? A TMB maybe?
It would be a, I think it would be a RMT.
RMT, yeah.
Or a CNT.
CNT,
yeah. Either referred to as CNY or RMB normally. It's a really interesting question, and I'll be honest, I've kind of avoided it so far.
Well, you can leak the alpha for us on Terabyte to let us
I'm
know.
I'm going to leak the alpha right now. Look, it's the billion/trillion-dollar question, right?
Right.
If you can do this for China, you provide a level of freedom for users there that they currently don't have. Don't quite have the answer for that yet, and I'm sure it'll be something that we will be thinking about heavily.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I appreciate the answer there. I guess as a follow-up, do you see, because I mean, you know, you talked about like the retail person that wants to just be able to you know, basically denominate whatever they're doing in the Terra ecosystem, be able to dominate in their home currency or in their local currency rather. But let's talk about some of the other use cases, like people that are actually trading on top of this. You know, one of our questions in the YouTube comments was, but you know, are you guys planning on, do you plan to address either institutional Forex or retail traders? And how do you intend to reach out to the fiat traders in either of those segments? Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I think it's, as I said, it kind of comes from both ends. I think the initial version of the product will have trading capability, so it will be open to retail. They can trade retail FX. They can deposit in native stablecoins, but it has the capacity to grow and be more industrial. So the other thing we view ourselves as is like a building block for other protocols. So if you want to have yield denominated in yen or Aussie or whatever, you can come to us and we've kind of done the hard work for you, sort of creating like L2 for Anchor, if you like. So you can use that L2 to create sort of an L3. and you've got kind of building blocks all the way up, the same way that Convex interacts with a number of protocols. Oh, Curve, I should say, interacts with Convex. We want to have that kind of layering of interactions up from Vertex. So we're trying to build everything in that way. And as I said, we are talking to other protocols and seeing where there are ways we can collaborate and work with each other.
Adrian Pat, oh, sorry, I don't want to butcher your name. Adrian Padurian, if I said that correctly, wants to know what's the stage of the project more exactly, which is a nicer way to just ask when. If you could give us
when
a
launch.
Yeah. Give us an idea of the roadmap.
So there you go. We'll drop this sweet hot alpha on you now, Evan. How about that? So
very nice.
We're gonna start with a testnet launch. We envisage that we'll be able to go to testnet in the next 3 to 4 weeks, maybe sooner. And that will be using potentially a focus group. So we'll be looking for users who will engage with the platform, give us feedback, and we're sort of working out currently ways that we can incentivize that group and reward them for helping us develop the project. But that's the stage we're at right now. We have a bunch of the smart contracting built. We have a bunch of front-end stuff built. We're just putting some of the finishing touches together so that we can get it to people.
And Adrian said that... hold on, sorry. Adrian said that the pronunciation of his name was good. I don't understand what Christian's saying now. It's getting ridiculous here. Does he understand the questions he's asking? I think I'm getting flamed in the comments right now.
I think you're getting burned in your own show, Evan. This is fun to watch. I thought I'd be getting flamed
it's
more,
crazy.
But I'm happy for you to take the friendly fire.
I don't know. I thought that was a nice way for him to ask when, but maybe not. Joseph's going to ask again, are there any competitors to Vertex on Terra or other exchanges? I'm not sure of that, but D, maybe you've heard of other competitors out there.
I think currently there are a number of protocols that are kind of thinking about FX. I think we're the only ones where we've sort of taken this angle around decentralized stable coins plus perpetuals. And so we found ourselves on the Terra ecosystem, and we think that's the best place to be, and we think we have a number of competitive advantages as a result. But sure, I've seen a couple of FX protocols pop up. I've seen a couple of people think about leverage FX trading, and you know, there are people thinking about perpetual trading on Terra. Not in FX, but you know, perpetual trading. But we think in our little kind of gap that we found for ourselves that we're kind of unique.
And do you think that, you know, as a follow-up to that, is it easier to build something like this on Terra just because of the nature of how it works? And you know, like we discussed earlier, there's already some there's already native stable coins denominated in these local currencies. Does that make it easier to build something like this on Terra than, like, let's say on Solana or on Ethereum?
Absolutely. Because there's already a mechanism for creating the stable coins without having a sort of minimum threshold for liquidity. So it's very easy for the Terra ecosystem to ramp up a volume on any given stablecoin, right? Where if you have a centralized stablecoin set, there are costs and fixed overheads associated with running such a coin. And so it doesn't make sense economically to have a coin sub, you know, I don't know, $50 million worth of value, say, because it's like running a tiny money market fund that makes no money.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So
yeah, no, that makes sense to me. And then do you see... do you see the creation of what you're building as a way for potentially, I guess, other applications that maybe might only be relevant to like a local currency or even like a marketplace or someone else? Do you see that the creation of what you're building to open up more opportunities for things like that, if that makes sense. Hopefully that question makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, like, look at, I didn't quite finish. The other thing that is obviously huge about the Terra ecosystem is Anchor. Just the fact that it has such high and attractive rates brings money into the system. So going back to the question you just asked, like, look at, my mind's gone blank, but look at the payment system in Korea, right? Mm-hmm. So there's cash flowing around in Chai, but there's no real incentive for people to hold Korean won that's in that system and do anything with it. As soon as you add some utility, you create stickiness in the ecosystem itself. So rather than just straight transferring out and into fiat, now people have a reason to leave it on chain and into a deposit.
Right.
Well, now they've got it on deposit and you see how much money sat there, you might be incentivized to build something else in Korea if you know that there's a large portion of cash flowing around there that might flow into your protocol. And so you sort of create a flywheel effect, right, in these local currency stable coins. But if no one's holding cash in these stable coins and there's no reason to have them in the stable coins, then there's no real reason to build, right? You've got a like chicken and egg situation. We think Vertex breaks that chicken and egg situation. You create a reason for people to actually hold these random stable coins. And now people can get busy building stuff and hopefully using Vertex as a building block.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And that's certainly exciting stuff. I do want to take some time here before we wrap up. We got Mike VP in the comments asking about if there is a token. I do know there's a token because you mentioned it in your light paper. And I guess maybe the most important question about any token is, how are you thinking about value capture for the users and the token holders?
Yeah, so at the moment, the way we're thinking about it is, it's basically a kind of governance utility token. So it has a couple of functions. One is a kind of standard governance thing. We'll also have a level of governance where people can lock governance tokens in to get boosted rewards. And they will help backstop the insurance on the perpetual part of the protocol. So they'll get enhanced yields for that, but they'll be backstopping it and aligning their interests with users. So, and then there'll be a whole host of other things that they get from that. The capture mechanism will come through trading fees for the most part and spread on deposits. So as people trade, it generates revenue. Most of that will go back to LPs. And then some of that will come back to the protocol treasury itself and then therefore into the hands of governance holders.
We're getting finally some nice comments here for me. Great job, brother. You did good on this interview, despite what the haters say. I can appreciate that. Crypto elf of Rivendell, thank you.
You've got a hype man in the comments, Evan, who's crying out for you.
I actually made my intern create a YouTube account real quick to
change exactly.
The tide to the YouTube comments. Hey, Dee, I really appreciate you joining us. Obviously, I'm not a Forex expert, so if people want to reach out and maybe they've got a bigger brain than I do and find out more about Vertex, where should they go to ask the real questions?
Why don't you just ping us on Twitter, Vertex Protocol.
Absolutely. Vertex Protocol, and that's, what is it, just at Vertex Protocol, all one word, lowercase?
You're testing me. This is the one thing I don't really have the answer ready for you.
Well, here I have the answer. It's at Vertex_protocol.
Exactly.
Go and hit them up. And is there anything else we didn't cover that you'd like to say to all the lunatics watching?
We're here to make your lives better. I promise you, this is going to be one of the most exciting projects this year. We're really pumped about the team we've got. We're mostly a non as things stand. As you can see, but we got the right people in the house to make a really good job of this. I'm excited to bring it and show the community and get feedback. So it's going to be a fun year.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited for it. And despite my ignorant American questions, I'm still cheering for UST to go to 100 billion this year. But obviously, you know, creating any more demand for all the other Terra stable coins, people need to realize that that burns Luna just the same. So, D, we really appreciate you coming on the show. Anybody that watched this, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I appreciate you having me. Sorry, I thought there was a gap there.
No worries. Anybody watching, please like, rate, subscribe, share, do all the things that Pete usually tells you to do at the end of the show. And as always, continue discovering more about the Terra Luna ecosystem, the Luna coin, the Terra coin. What is the difference? How does it work? The more stable coins that are out there, the more Luna we have to burn. That's the bottom line. So continue discovering that and more by discovering Terabytes. Thanks, everybody.